The whole notion of everyone staying home from Minyanim, let's say, or going back to Purim, is a little mind-boggling. Why you guys probably know, did a live stream of the Megillah for all those who are recommended to stay home, Rav Shachter Paskind, that it's better than nothing. Obviously, if a person is able to have someone come to their house and read from a kosher Megillah, or if one has a kosher Megillah on their own, to try to read from it. And you certainly get the mitzvah like that. But if you have no option, there's no one to read the Megillah for you, you're unable to do it on your own. So it's better than nothing to listen to a live stream. There were 6,500 people, 6,500 people who tuned into YU Torah to listen to the Megillah live. That is crazy. It's scary. It's scary just to know how many people, due to quarantines and whatnot, had to stay home. And that was the psak. That was the psak. And unfortunately, people are dying every day because of Corona. Baruch Hashem, it's not a lot, but every person counts. And the need to stay home and for people to remain quarantined if they had any concern, symptoms that that might make them an indication of being contagious or whatnot, to the extent that 6,500 people had to tune in online, that was just YU site. There were other shuls on their own had their own readings online. It's a mind-boggling number. So what's a halachic rationale? Why would we tell someone, as Rabbanim did around the world, to stay home from the Megillah? It's Purim. Everybody loves Purim. Everyone looks forward to the mitzvahs of Purim. How do we tell people to stay home? And especially because the numbers are so low, the actual statistics of how many people are dying or getting infected is very, very low. And nevertheless, we're going to tell thousands of Jews around the world to stay home. So Elamai, the Peshat is, according to my simple understanding of the dynamics of the infectious disease, and please inform me if I'm missing some of the sophistication, but it's pasha. We need to contain the spread of the disease. The only way to contain the spread of the disease is to keep people at home. And even if one of you gets infected with coronavirus, so the worst thing is you'll get a cold. Maybe you'll be in bed for a day. Maybe not even that. And you may not even notice the symptoms too strongly, but every person who's infected, every person who's out in the street, in the shul, in areas where there's public gatherings, the virus can spread from one person. And for the one person that it hits with a respiratory problem, with heart disease, chas v'shalom, whatever it happens to be, that the symptoms and the effect of the virus are deadly, as rare and as uncommon as that's going to be, justifies thousands and tens of thousands of people staying home and not hearing the Megillah. Unbelievable. Not going to Tilbet Sibur, not doing so many things that are part of our daily routine of Yiddishkeit. Not getting together for the thousand plus guys in yeshiva. Cancel all the shurim, cancel all the classes. We're all at home. How do you justify that for such a small number of people? So it's a parallel. It's a parallel to what we find also by Megillah, but by Rosh Hashanah, for example. This is where Leiv Eliyahu, I was looking for it this morning. I couldn't find the exact location of the Sefer. I think it's somewhere in Chel Gimel. Rav Eliyahu Lapian, one of the great Musar giants of, we'll say, the previous generation. He died in 1960. So he says, if you think about it, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos, so we don't pull the shofar on that day, right? Mitzvah d'oraisa, we're not going to do it. Not only that, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, scary line. The Gemara says in Daf Tezayin, Kol Shana She'ein Token B'Tchilasa, Maria and Love Sofa. Any year where, due to the fact that it's Shabbos or any other reason, you don't pull the shofar at the beginning of the year on Rosh Hashanah, that year will end with some sort of tragedy, some sort of bad news. It's not so exciting to hear when you begin the year Rosh Hashanah and then you're not blowing shofar because of Shabbos. So what's the reason we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah and when it falls on Shabbos? And again, you know, not just that portentous line of the Gemara, but also the fact that we know Rosh Hashanah is the whole yesod of tshuva starts with the shofar. We start blowing a month before to get ourselves ready for tshuva. The coronation of the king, the 10 different symbolisms of what the shofar represents, and we cancel all that if it falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the reason is because if I have a shofar, and I'm allowed to blow a shofar, and I'm supposed to blow a shofar on Shabbos, Shemi Tataleno Dalet Amos Bershus Rabin, maybe you're going to bring it to an expert to teach you how to blow the shofar, and in doing so, you're going to carry it through the Rosh Hashanah Rabim for Amos. That's an Issur D'oraisa. So let's just break this down a little bit. It's mind-boggling. So number one, we're talking about a person who wants to learn how to blow the shofar. So he's going to the rabbi to teach him how to learn. So this guy is not going to be in shul because he doesn't need to go to the rabbi to teach him how to blow the shofar if he's going to be in shul and some of the air is going to be blowing. So Stamos are the guys at Shulmazel. I don't know why he can't just go to shul and listen to it himself. But moreover, The Gemara says, listen to the Lashon carefully, Shema Yataltza Leno Dalad Amos B'Shusarab. Maybe he's going to carry his shofar four Amos in the Shusarab. The Rishonim asked, why are you talking about carrying it through Rosh Hashanah? What about taking it from my house into the Rosh Hashanah? That's also Nisa D'Oraisa, right? Where else is my shofar? My shofar's in my house. I bring it outside because I'm on the way to bring it to the rabbi. No, we're not worried about that. Rishonim explained why we're not worried about that. We're only worried about a guy who left his shofar the night before on Erev Rosh Hashanah in the middle of the street, and then he wakes up in the morning and then go, hopefully it's still there on the street in the morning, or his Megillah. We don't read Megillah on Shabbos either when Purim falls out on Shabbos. You know what a Megillah costs? Megillah costs $1,000, $1,500, Megillah's Esther. He left it in the street? What's wrong with this guy? What foolish person are we talking about who left the Megillah in the street, can't find anyone to read it for him, has to take it to the, and for him, for that one shlamazel, for the one shlamazel, the entire Klal Yisrael is not going to blow the shofar this year. The whole Klal Yisrael shut down. The mitzvah shofar, mitzvah d'oraisa, not going to do it this year for that one guy, the crazy guy. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? So Elamai, you see from here that for that one individual, all of Klal Yisrael needs to get together and be concerned and hold back and resist doing what they want to do, what they need to do, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do. Because only, the only way we're going to get that one guy to be prevented from violating an Isser D'Oraisa is if we all shut down. If even some of us, if the gezeira of not blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos only applied to some people, only applied to this community, not to the place where the guy was, right? So everyone's going to come with exceptions, doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply to me. And the shlamazel who carries it through the shizram, he's also going to say it doesn't apply to me. Only if we all shut down will we be effective in helping that one person. And we need to. We need to all shut down in order to help that one person. So thousands of people didn't go to hear the Megillah on Purim because if all those thousands of Jews were congregating in places where there were hundreds of other Jews, in the shuls, in the schools, in the yeshivas, wherever it happens to be, and as a result, the virus, one person sneezes, one person shakes a hand, here to there, it ends up on one person who gets sick, chas v'shalom, and continues the virus spreading around the country because it's spreading. The only thing we can do is we all have to stay back. All have to stay back. And there's a tremendous mussar here in what the koach of the tzibur is. What the koach of people being able to affect a change and only be able to affect a change when we're all in. Every single one of us. Because, again, if one person doesn't stay back, then everyone else thinks, well, I don't have to stay back. And then it's a domino effect. And you can't contain a virus unless it's a complete shutdown. Unless it's a complete shutdown. And it's reminiscent of something which is very surprising. I never fully understood it. Why do we have Chazar Sashatz? Why do we have everybody listening to the Chazan to say the Shemoneh Esrei that we just said 5 minutes ago? What's up, Pshat? So the Pasha Pshat, the Shulchan Aruch says, is because maybe there's someone in Shul, and there were definitely times in history where not everyone knew how to daven, they didn't have Sidurim, and you have to be Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei that everyone has to say by listening to the Chazan. Okay, so maybe there's a place, maybe there's some shul out there with Bali Tshuva, with Gerim, you know, that's all the people there, and it's a shul filled with people who can't daven on their own, but how many people do we have nowadays who can't open up a siddur? We have plenty of siddurim. We have translated siddurim. We have it on your phone. You have an app with the siddur in English. Now, why do I need to have Chazar Sashatz? Kav Chaim brings that every takan of Chazal, even though it is mislabish, sometimes it is presented to us on a pshat level, has a multitude of deeper sodos and reasons behind it that weren't always revealed to us. And the time of the Arizal, in the Arizal's lifetime, permission was given for many of these secrets to be revealed. Okay, so I'm already in over my head at this point, but Kav Chaim says one thing from the Arizal. One thing when it comes to Chazar Sashatz, beyond the person who doesn't know how to read, doesn't have a sitter, he says that the power, the koach of the Chazar Sashatz is even more effective and a stronger and more powerful tefillah than even the tefillah of the individuals that are saying Shemoneh Esrei on their own. And we never would have thought of that in our wildest dreams. You go into a shul, what's going on in their Chazar Sashatz? I don't even want to say. Hopefully everybody's learning, okay? I'm sure no one has their phone out. I'm sure no one's checking their email or checking their text during Chazar Sashatz. But did we ever stop to think that maybe the power of the tzibur davening is even more powerful than the individualized kavana silent shmonesra that I said on my own. And that's what the Arizal tells us. So the reason why that's so surprising is we don't give credit to the koch of the tzibur. And the power of the tzibur is only there insofar as each member of the tzibur is contributing their chelek to bring about the ultimate effect. Just like what we're going through right now. The containment of the virus only is effective if everybody shuts down, everybody stays put, everyone is quarantined to the extent that it's reasonably necessary, or else the risk continues and won't stop until something unbelievable happens, that some vaccine is able to stop the virus. The thing to keep in mind, not just to focus more during your Chazar Sashatz and try to use that as a time to be plugged in, even though it's something which our reflex is to disconnect, is that, you know, we throw around the term Achdus a lot, and color war in camp, so this team has more Achdus. This team, Achdus is not something you have or you don't have. Achdus is a reality. Achdus is the state of affairs that is standard for Klal Yisrael always. Meaning, if you have a body with many, many different biological systems, whether it be your respiratory system or your digestive system, the endocrine system, the different systems in the body don't all work together and seek achdus. They don't need to work on their achdus. They are echod as one. If there's synchronization, the person continues to live a happy, healthy life. If chas v'shalom, they're not synchronized and the biological systems are not working properly, then everything falls apart. Achdus is, it's not something you work on or you try to accomplish or try to achieve. It is the state of affairs. Just one example. Why, if I already made Kiddush on Shabbos morning and then a member of my family or any member of Klal Yisrael didn't hear Kiddush yet, I can make the same bracha all over again and be motzi them with the Kiddush? Klal Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. All Klal Yisrael are guarantors for each other. Explain the Rishonim that means that my mitzvah of Kiddush, even though I made Kiddush, I said every word in the bencher, is not fully fulfilled until every other member of Klal Yisrael has also performed the mitzvah of Kiddush. So therefore, for me to make the bracha and make the Kiddush for someone else, even though I made it already, is not a bracha of Atala. Because if you haven't done the mitzvah yet, I haven't done the mitzvah yet, so the bracha is a necessary bracha. The mitzvah of Kiddush is still not complete, even vis-a-vis myself, who has made Kiddush already. Achdus is, we are organically, spiritually, by nature, interconnected with each other. And if we can appreciate in terms of a larger society how much one person's actions affects the entire surroundings, the National Guard has to be brought into the Young Israel of New Rochelle to create a perimeter around the community. If one person's actions, and certainly a community's actions, can affect the entire safety of the country and beyond, so then the power of a tzibur in our achdus and our religious life has to be viewed in a different light. If all of Klal Yisrael can shut down for the mitzvah of Shofar, for the mitzvah of Megillah, so that one person will be prevented from being Mechal Shabbos, so then we can start to see the connection. And it means we have to look at the people around us differently. And we have to appreciate the koch of the tzibur, especially because it's not for us to say, but one is encouraged to feel that maybe we haven't valued that koch of the tzibur sufficiently, if the way that we need to now deal with the virus that's in our midst is by shutting down shuls. Someone in the shir contacted me today. He said, Rebbe, I'm home, I'm out of town, I don't have content minyanim in my community. So it's not so easy for me to get to daven b'tzibur. In YU, it was easy. There, every half an hour, there's another minyan. So if we didn't appreciate the koach of the tzibur before, it's only when we're now in the absence of that opportunity to daven b'tzibur as easily as we had it before, or at all, Rachman al-Atzlan, we begin to realize, wait a minute, this is a critical part of my life and my Yiddishkeit, and now I'm not able to tap into it in the same way. What's going to happen if we can't go to shul this Shabbos? Is your Shabbos going to be the same if you wake up and you can't go to shul this Shabbos? Crazy. The message is that we need to have a better appreciation for the aspects of tzibur and the aspects of achdus that we take for granted in the rest of our lives. Because Baruch Hu should help us get back to normalcy and be able to implement that and view that as well.